and helping us in our liturgy this morning. And Julian is going to come on up and help share our scripture today as he reads from Ephesians chapter 6. Awesome. All right, let's make sure we got a good mic on you. Perfect. Go for it.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of evil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, and put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which will be able to help to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and preserve in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, and to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Awesome. Thanks, Julian. Nicely done. Well, gracious God, we gather in the power of your Spirit to hear your word proclaimed. May it challenge us and enlighten us and help us to grow and transform into your ways, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we just heard in Ephesians 6, familiar, famous passage, talking about the armor of God, creates this great imagery, much like a soldier in the Roman army of the day would get equipped for battle. But of course, Paul's not writing to the Ephesians so that they would get equipped to fight a battle like any Roman soldier. No, he's writing so that they would be equipped to battle against something much larger. The forces of evil, he talks about. The larger sort of evil with a capital E that we face within the world. And that kind of battle takes more than sort of common elements of shield and helmets, breastplates, and such. It takes a different kind of battle, a different kind of preparation to battle against evil with a big E. Capital E type evil. That raised its head just yesterday in Dayton. In El Paso. And of course, probably in 1,000 other places that didn't make the news, where other people were gunned down or murdered or cut short in their life. There is evil with a capital E that we battle, that we don't see as we live day by day, but it is with us and around us all the time. We know it in the forms of isms, racism, nationalism, pluralism. Keep sharing the isms, you know them. They're the ways that our society bends towards sin and then begins to create systems that become more unjust, more degrading. Our mission team went up to Milwaukee this week to serve. Why did they go to do that? Because there are people who are under-resourced, people whose lives are marked by the challenges of poverty, by addiction, you name it. For many, there's personal choices that get along the way that lead them down those paths, but for many, they're just part of a larger corruption of society, a larger struggle that God is battling against and is enlisting you and I to battle against. And our mission team was in Milwaukee helping to come alongside those in need and to serve in various ways. So they were a part of the battle against the sort of capital E of the world. So we're going to hear a little bit from a few of them. Get to hear and understand what did they do, and to consider how does that all play together in the ways that we as Christians put on the armor of God and battle the injustice of the world. So first I want to have Sam come on up and share with us a little bit. Awesome. Good morning, Sam. Good to see you. Right here. Awesome. Sam, let's introduce yourself. Who are you? Tell you folks.
I am Sam. Hi.
You can add like a last name to that.
Sam Farmer.
There you go. Sam, what grade are you going to be going into this coming
year? I'm going into high school. Ninth
awesome.
Grade.
Where are you going to be doing that?
Warren.
Warren High School. Wonderful. Sam, have you been on any of the mission trips in the past?
No, I haven't been on a mission trip. This is my first one.
Awesome. All right. First time. Could you tell us what was some of the work that you guys did this week in Milwaukee?
Good work. We helped sort of community center, like doing work for them, cleaning up their dirty rooms. We went and helped out at a all-age nursing home for people with special needs.
Okay.
And awesome. We had one day where we served soup at like for a bunch of people who were like homeless and didn't have food.
Awesome.
Yeah.
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 Awesome. Out of as you think back over the week and your experience, what stands out to you the most in your time?
What stands out to me the most was probably just when we were in that nursing home, like the happy faces on the people when we were like doing stuff, like when we sang karaoke in front of them. They were just really happy.
Nice. Did you sing karaoke?
Yeah.
What did you sing?
As a group, me, Leah, Kylie, and Javi,
yeah.
We all sang Old Town Road.
All right. I wonder if that might have been the first time that group had heard karaoke of Old Time Road, but
yeah.
That's great. Awesome. So you saw there was a joy there.
Yeah.
As you guys were interacting and coming alongside, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Would you say God was a part of that?
Yeah, definitely. God was there, like helping us, just make everyone happy.
Yeah.
And showing it in our hearts.
Awesome. Anything else you'd like to share about your experience this week?
No, not much.
All right. Sam, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Good work, Sam. One of our adult advisors who went along is Ellen Dimmick. I'm going to have Ellen come up and share from her perspective what this experience was like. Because, of course, for students and adults, it's always a different experience.
We're so tired. We have to help each other.
It is an exhausting week. I get it. Yeah. Well, welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. I'm still so tired.
Yeah. It's all right. You are granted recovery time. All week, you get to sleep in. Joe, did you hear that? Right? Okay. See, all week, you get to sleep in. So, Ellen, what would you like to share about your experience?
Okie dokie. I would like to share with you that we worked with a group called Youth Works. I don't know much about that particular organization, but the girls and the gentlemen that were there running it were phenomenal. They took such great care of your kids, our kids. I want to tell you that I believe you all had the hardest part in raising your kids, but you also need to know that your kids are turning into young adults. They heard you. I can't tell you much about what Kelly and Troy's groups did, but I can share with you what the Provolone group did. We all had cheese names, our groups did.
Why would that be?
Well, I'm not sure. I think Wisconsin had something to do with that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Not being from there, I don't know.
No, it's weird, I know.
All of our job sites were outside. We weeded, picked up rocks and stones for 2 days in two of the largest fields I think I've ever seen in my life. But we were wondering what we were doing there. We didn't get to see people's faces and smiling residents. We didn't know who we were helping. On the second day, I was running a lawnmower. I don't know why. A group of kids came, and they were playing in the parking lot on the asphalt. And it occurred to me that that was why we were clearing the field of rocks and stones and grass that was probably taller than Jave. Sorry, but you're the shortest one in the group.
Yeah.
We have found out that a playground was going to go into the first huge field that we cleared. And exercise equipment was going into the second field that we cleared. It was pretty cool. Went to come back the second day and see the results of the first big field cleared. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. On day three, we were off to the park. That's like so cool. We're going to the park. We're going to go play. We're going to have fun. Not.
No.
Nope. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to yell. Again, we were asking ourselves, how are we doing God's work? It's like we don't get to see anybody. We cut down buckthorn. Oh, see, you all know. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They know.
They know buckthorn. The scouts know buckthorn. That's a tough plant to find when everything is green. Mm. Very tough plant to find. We put it all into piles, and then the gentleman we were with said, okay, who wants to drag this stuff? And I said, well, I don't. And he said, okay, you stay here and you watch the tools and stuff. And I said, okay. So off went my three kids and the other adult leader that I was with and his three kids. And I'm sitting there, okay, I'm still sitting there. I'm like, man, they forgot about me. I'm still sitting there. I didn't know how far away they had to go. But what they did is they took the buckthorn and they were making yet another pile of it into a pathway that the public made that the park didn't want the public to make. And so their way of discouraging people from taking that path is to pile things up high enough that they can't climb over it, can't climb through it. Mm-hmm. So that's what these kids did. I think I had the easy job sitting in the hot sun waiting for them though, but it was good. But I also at one point had to remind my kids, and I find it ironic that today is your Scout Sunday, people serving coffee, that they were sort of working on an Eagle Scout project. Mm-hmm. The Eagle Scout prepare, oh, I don't need to tell you that. I'm not gonna go into that. But again, we still couldn't see the people that we were there to benefit because we were working in our little groups. Day four took us back to the park. Yay, we're going back to the park. like yippee. But again, not really seeing who we're there to serve. How many times did I say we're here to do God's work? Quite a few. Okay, count, how many? All right, quite a few. I'm a good adult leader, by the way. Okay. We, that day, I think we picked up garbage around the pond, but we cut a tistle, not a thistle, but we cut tistle. Tistle is this tall. It's gotta be this big around, the stalk itself. I mean, it was enormous. It was an interesting event. And then we got in the car. Everywhere we went, by the way, was not the site that we were working at. Every time we went somewhere, we were told to go someplace else. So the second part of that day was we went back to this big park we were at, and we were led through the forest. Downhills, mind you all. And the kids, again, I decided to stay back. But I put myself to work. And my kids didn't see what I was doing while they were gone. I helped another group from another organization. I stood on top of a mud hill, but it wasn't muddy, but you have to, it's cleared. I said, okay, I'm so out of my comfort zone. And I was told I needed to hand these trees, another invasive plant that somebody else, trees, not a plant, but trees. And someone handed them to me, and I dragged them a little bit, and I handed them to a young man who kept coming up this hill to get them from me, to hand them down to another person, to another person, to another person. They were building that wall for another path that the park didn't want people to take. It was interesting. So, I'm sorry, I lost my place here. So that was actually two things we did that day, but then the third thing we did was we went to an organization called Building Bridges, Bridge Builders. We went into a house, which was an office space. It's an organization that a man started. He put his money where his mouth was, and he was at some rally trying to get the neighborhood together to find out how they could better their neighborhood. And they were like, but we've tried. We've gone to all these places and nobody's helping us. And he said, okay. He bought a house, fixed it up, went to the neighbor and said, what can I do to help you? Well, my deck is falling apart. I can't get up and down my porch steps. Okay, so he gathered the troops and they put on a new front porch. They did all sorts of little things within a block or block and a half radius, but then he bought six more houses in different neighborhoods and continued to do that kind of project. I fell in love with that project. I thought, this is really cool. Guess what? We ended up at a warehouse. We don't know why. To this day, I don't think we know why. We were told to take apart packages of hand towels, racks, and they come in three different parts, and then there's the screws and the molly bolts are all in there. But we had to open every package and take everything apart and sort them into big, huge cardboard boxes. No idea why we did that. But an hour and a half, we did over 300 boxes. Wow. I never saw kids move so fast in my, I don't know if they thought they were getting ice cream at the end of that or what, but they moved really, really fast.
Possible.
So I'm sorry, I'm gonna be really short. So your kids, our kids, are on a great start to adulthood. I loved watching them interact with the people that we were helping and with each other. I learned this past week that our kids have struggles, but don't we all? They feel theirs are bigger than ours, but don't we feel that way too? Our struggles are bigger. Mine are way bigger than yours. This group really lives up to their name, Wild Faith. It was an honor and it was a pleasure to spend my time with them. I think I set a record though as, excuse me, being one of the oldest groups, youth group advisors. So I'm just saying.
No way.
Thank you very much and God bless you all.
Thanks, Ellen. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. We begin to hear some of the variety of experience and service that went on throughout the week. Our last person to share is a young lady named Annika, who I know kind of well. My youngest daughter, for those who don't know. And so welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Annika Holm, and I'm going into ninth grade, so this is my last mission trip. But I've gone... last middle school mission trip.
Yeah, okay.
So I've gone on the past three, which was extremely fun the past 3 years.
Yeah, awesome. Tell us about your experience. What do you want to share about your time
there? So I was in Ellen's group, and as y'all know...
So you're provolone, huh?
Yeah, provolone.
Nice.
We were weeding like the whole week. Not very fun. Stabbed myself a couple of times with the buckthorn. Yeah, she kissed it, made it all better. So it wasn't that bad. But thankfully there was like pretty nice weather, so we weren't dying in the heat, and we were next to Lake Michigan, so there was a really nice breeze. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Awesome. What was sort of memorable for you? Where did you see God in the midst of all this this week?
When one night we went to this middle school, and there was four people there to talk about like their journey through like finding Christ or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the two guys were like in a gang as kids, like from like 10, mm-hmm. or I think one like started, was in a gang at 11. Mm-hmm. And they just like were in this gang throughout their whole childhood because like no, their parents and like siblings like weren't really around, and siblings like supported them in it, and they were like, oh, one was in foster care, so his parents obviously weren't there to like tell him no. And I think that was like one of their main reasons that like they would do it, because they were like, well, no one's there to tell me no. And then the two girls were just involved in a lot of like partying and alcohol and stuff, and they had some really cool stories about like just like finding God and how good it felt when they found him, and this like how they experienced like the true love of God and how it's like never ending.
Yeah, awesome. Anything last words to share about your final middle school mission trip here and experience?
Oh, mission trips are so fun. You laugh way too much, and like this time we ate way too much ice cream, like possibly even more than last year, which was a lot for
setting
those who know.
New ice cream records every year.
Yeah. Every year, just gets more and more. So that's always really fun.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Monica, thanks for sharing today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So through a variety of experience, serving in with various organizations, coming alongside people with different needs, is one way that our students are learning and growing and maturing in faith and responding to the challenges of evil. You and I have the opportunity to respond to evil with a capital E every day. I know it's hard to imagine that way, because evil doesn't show itself like with a cape and a big E on its chest. It's much more subtle than that most of the time. It's in the snide comment made about a coworker that's unnecessary. It happens in the news and in our community, in our nation, in our world, time and time again, because of course there is this corruption within us. We call it sin. It's kind of a decay of the best of what God has created in us. And Paul writes in Ephesians to people in the first century dealing with evil with a capital E, and he writes to us as well. He says we've got to put on this armor of God to respond to the ways that people are minimized and limited, the ways that we cut one another down, make less of one another, in personal ways and in corporate ways. To do that, he says, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. What does that look like? He gives us all these images related to normal armor for the Roman soldier. The shield, the helmet, the shoes, the sword, and so on. If you boil it all down, what he's really talking about is saying, live with a confidence that you have in Christ, in knowing that God has already won the war. God has already done everything in the person of Jesus so that there is salvation, so that there is reconciliation, so that you and I are united with God once again. We don't have to fight that battle. That battle has already been won. But there are still skirmishes that God is enlisting us to take part in, because evil still runs around, still causes trouble, still takes life. And so you and I, fitted with the knowledge, the certainty that God is for us and not against us, are enlisted in the skirmishes of evil to say, respond. Work against evil wherever you see it. So I was reading through this passage and thinking about those kind of battles that we wage. One particular person came to mind for me. He's a Lutheran pastor from the 20th century, a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. There's a picture of him somewhere in there. Let's see. There he is. How many of you know anything about Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Just a few. Let me share just a moment about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I said he was a Lutheran pastor, born and raised in Germany in the 1910s and 20s. Early 1930s, as Hitler came to power and the Nazi Party was growing, he very astutely, as a man in his young 20s, could hear the message of Nazism, the message of anti-Semitism that was growing, the message of nationalism, and this sort of call to the Nazi way as antithetical to the Christian life. He knew it right away. In fact, 2 weeks into Hitler's formal time as chancellor, he was on the radio, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, calling Christians to give their allegiance to Christ, not to Nazism, not to Hitler. He knew the path this was headed on, the way in which evil was raising its ugly head. And he began to battle against it in every way he could imagine. It was not long before he could see the war was about to begin. He was a pacifist, and he said, I don't want to be conscripted into the army. And so he took a teaching position back in America, teaching at Union Seminary in New York City. But even there, as the war began, he knew he couldn't abandon his country and his church. And so months later, as the war began, he went back to Germany, because he knew there was evil with a capital E to fight against. And he knew he couldn't ignore it from afar, sit it out in America where it was safe. He said he had to go back into the fray, into the skirmish, the battle that was waging. He said this, as he thought about the Christian response to evil. That we are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. He knew that was the call God had on each one of our lives. See, because our faith is not, it's not just about a relationship with God and an eternal sort of confidence of connecting with God for all time, but it's also about a response to bring about the kingdom ways of justice, equality, mercy, love, compassion. And Bonhoeffer saw in Nazi Germany that was not what was going on. And he saw how so many Christians in the German church of the time were fooled by the message of Hitler. And so they just went along with it. Well-meaning German Christians who got caught up in the national pride of Nazi Germany and decided to do whatever Hitler wanted. And we know the outcomes then that ensued. More than 1 million Jews in the death camps, gypsies and others, the anti-Semitism and racism that took place there, and how so many looked the other way, But Bonhoeffer said, no, we can't look the other way. We have to fight against this. He said this as well. Christianity stands or falls with its revolutionary protest against violence, arbitrariness, and pride of power, and with its plea for the weak. Christians are doing too little to make these points clear, he said. He went on to say, Christendom adjusts itself far too easily to the worship of power. Christians should give more offense and shock the world far more than they are doing now. This was 1938, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, until he was executed for speaking out against evil with a capital E. It strikes me, in America, in the Christian church, we have gotten far too comfortable with the authority and power that we like, that we sort of associate with, and we have to look ourselves in the eye and say, what does that really mean? And what are we doing for the least and the lost, for the weak and the oppressed, for those who have no voice? I feel just as challenged by this as any of you might today, because I think I can sit back on the sidelines far too often and see the abuses of power and the injustice around us and think I can't do anything about this. But that's pretty comfortable. That's pretty easy. I think we're called to something more. Back in the mid-80s, our denomination had a reunification. Some of you may remember this. The Presbyterian Church that had split during the Civil War. Remember those years? A while back. It wasn't until the mid-1980s that the Presbyterian Church, North and South, reunified. And out of that unification, they decided we need a new, a modern sort of confession, a statement of faith of who we are and who we're called to become. It's a wonderful piece. It's called A Brief Statement of Faith. I commend it to you, but today I want to close by sharing the last portion of it. It talks about the work of the Spirit in our lives. Says, we trust in God the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. We're not to that part yet, but we'll get there. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, and claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. And here's how it finishes. There's the piece on the slide. In a broken and fearful world, sounds pretty accurate, the Spirit gives us courage to do what? To pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ, Christ alone as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, come, Lord Jesus. May it be so with us in the days to come. Gracious God, it is your high calling, as we are reconciled with you in Christ, that now we are enlisted in the battle. A battle you've already won, but where there are still many skirmishes to be had. A battle against evil in so many forms. Lord, indeed, may your Spirit grant us power and courage and wisdom to battle it well, to follow you alone. As we do so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.